Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Inside the Bigs is back where it belongs. So nice to be talking into a microphone on a Saturday morning. We were on Sundays up until this point. Actually, I think while I was out last week, we may have done a Saturday show. Thank you to whoever filled in for him. I should probably know that. But Inside the Bigs has been on the game for, I think, 4 years. There was a little bit of a break while I got my personal life together. We have been back on Saturdays for the past couple of seasons. And then this year, because the Warriors were such a big deal and this week in the NBA was such a great show. Look, the Warriors were moving the needle more than any other sports story in the Bay Area. Matt Steinmetz, John Dickinson, who, by the way, JD is not just a basketball guy. He'll be joining us later. He was at the All-Star game, and he's in San Diego with the Gigantes right now. We basically ceded the floor to the NBA show and the Warriors, and now that their season is over, we're back on Saturdays, and I'm fired up because what does that mean for the show? What does that mean for you, the faithful baseball fan of the Bay Area? It means that we will be together every single week. When Inside the Bigs was a Sunday show, if the A's, we are the radio home of A's baseball, of course, if the A's were in another time zone, pretty much every game starts at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, unless you're Sunday night baseball. And so that means you start at 1 o'clock wherever you are locally. If you're not in West Coast time zone, that means you're starting in the middle of our show, which means we don't have a show. On Saturdays, we will have, I checked the schedule, this is fact, every single Saturday for the rest of the regular season, we will have Inside the Big. So very pleased with that. Very excited about the new crew that I'm working with today. I've got Javier. You probably know him from the Three Amigos. He's producing me for the first time. I've also got Steven and Luke, a biblical power behind me. Steven, but he doesn't care. That's the kind of guy I like. He's the executive button pusher for the day. And Javier's the guy you need to worry about because he's the guy you got to get past if you expect to get on the air. Now, it's not difficult to get on the air. The fans come first on Inside the Bigs, always, always, always. In fact, if it's a great call and my producer tells me it's a great call, I'll cut off an interview that I'm in the middle of. For instance, today we're going to have Giants general manager Bobby Evans, always good enough to come on with us at short notice. He'll join us in the 11 o'clock hour, I believe. Maybe the 10 o'clock hour. I haven't quite nailed that down. And in fact, we have, but I'm just confused. But if he's on the air and Javier comes in my ear and says, dude, we got a great caller. Callers come first. Fans come first. I'll say, Bobby, I've got a rule. I got to put you on hold for a second. And then we'll get Phil from Fremont or whoever it is that has wowed Javier. But to even attempt to wow Javier, first you have to dial the number, 888-957-9570. Again, 888-957-9570. If you can only get to us via text, that would be the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. That would be 95795. And I keep my Twitter feed open, and I monitor it throughout the program. That would be at Big Herb Sports. So thank you for joining the program. Now that we have some regularity to it, Inside the Bigs has gotten its fiber. We will be regular for the rest of the regular season. Every Saturday morning from 9 to noon, talking ball for three straight hours. Of course, we are the radio home of A's baseball, so we talk quite a bit of A's, but it's just a baseball show. It's not an A's show. It's not a Bay Area baseball show. It's just a baseball show. But we do focus on the Bay Area. Giants, A's. Look, the Giants got the best record in baseball. How can we not spend a lot of time talking about the Giants? The Giants are a much more interesting team, depending on your definition of interesting. They're the more interesting team in the Bay Area right now. But we do give the A's they're due. And look, the A's have made headlines, at least in my mind. I mean, they're going to make headlines every day. No matter what they do, there will be a headline because you have to have something atop the story. But a significant headline is in the paper today regarding the A's. And this is not what the headline says, but it might as well just say A's wave white flag. Because that's kind of what they're doing. They told Danny Valencia, the third baseman, maybe the most talented or certainly the most productive regular in their lineup this season, batting over 300, got his share of bombs and RBIs, rubbed some people the wrong way, allegedly got benched for lack of hustle. I don't think this is related to that. This is just related to the A's saying, we are officially going nowhere, and we officially have to take a look at some young people. As part of that, they sent second-year guy Billy Burns. Remember last year when Billy Burns was the flavor of the month? Everyone loved them some Billy Burns. We're even willing to look past some of the obvious foibles in Billy Burns' game. This guy's a leadoff guy who runs like the wind, but he did not see many pitches. He was atypical as a leadoff guy in that respect. But we were willing to overlook it because he was exciting. There was so little exciting about the A's. And he actually got some stuff done. Well, the shine came off a little bit in his sophomore season, as often happens to young players. You see it all the time. Guys come up to the big leagues. Nobody has the quote-unquote book about them, and they take advantage of that, and they have some success. Well, sooner or later, especially in the past decade plus, with the advancement of various methods of scouting, be it electronic, be it throwing more bodies at the problem, you're going to get a book on a young player relatively quickly. The book is out on Billy Burns. He swings early in the count. They know to attack him. They know to attack the strike zone early. And in fact, just go outside the strike zone because he's probably still going to be hacking and he'll get himself out. For a guy with that type of speed, he needed to be beating the ball into the ground more often than he did. He didn't make those adjustments. And that's really when you find out if a good player, a good young player, is going to have a career, because his career doesn't start in the big leagues when you get to the big leagues. Follow me here. You get to the big leagues, if you're young and talented, and come on, if you get to the big leagues, you are, you're going to have some success. More often than not, you will have success. And then the league will adjust to you. Sometimes it takes a short time. Sometimes it takes a long while. They will adjust eventually. Your career starts after the league adjusts to you. Can you adjust back? If you do, then away we go, and you're going to be doing this for the next 10 years. You'll have a hot string. They will adjust. They'll exploit the holes in your swing. You will close the holes in your swing. A new problem will come up. They will exploit that. You take care of that. That's what a baseball career is more than in any other sport. It's adjusting to what they're doing to you, and then they adjust to what you're doing to them. Your career starts after you come up and they adjust. Can you adjust? Billy Burns, so far, has not shown that he can adequately adjust and still produce at a big league level. So he gone. He's down in the minor leagues now. A little bit of a surprising move. But the A's are going young. General manager David Force said, we're at a point where we've got to see some things from some of our young guys. We got to find out if they're pieces of the future. Manager Bob Melvin, great friend of the program. Boy, talk about a guy who is gracious with his time. Bobby Evans and Bob Melvin are number 1A and 1B. There is no second in terms of baseball personalities being good to this program. Both guys, and this does not happen very often, a general manager of a big league team coming on game day a couple hours before the game on virtually zero notice. I texted Bobby Evans yesterday asking if he could come on. I could text Bob Melvin right now and say, can you come on in an hour? Chances are he would come on. These are two really good guys. Just had to throw that out. We are lucky in the Bay Area because we've got a lot of good guys in leadership positions in baseball. David Force is a good guy. Billy Beane is a great guy. I know some people have mixed feelings about him, but he is a really good human being. Brian Sabian's a great guy. We've got good front offices in Bay Area baseball, which is why in the past decade plus, you haven't seen either team be down for very long. But remember, A's fans, as down as you are right now, and I get it, I'm a Bay Area guy. I'm bummed about what's happened to the A's in the past couple of years, too. I did not expect them to be great this year, but I certainly expected them to flirt with 500. I expected Sonny Gray to be a big part of that. That he's not been is a big part of why they're not flirting with 500. They're going to struggle to get there. But the A's have been to the playoffs three straight years in the very recent past. And they did that with teams constructed much like the team that's struggling this year. They came out of nowhere. They surprised everybody. The A's often do that. Why? Because they have good leadership. And the leadership is the same. The A's will get right again somehow. But that doesn't take the sting away from today's news that the A's have basically waved the white flag. Or maybe you disagree. Do you see this as the A's waving the white flag? I certainly do. 888-957-9570. I'm Michael Urban. Again, Inside the Bigs returns to Saturdays from here on out. The rest of the regular season, talking ball 3 hours from 9 to noon. If you want to call the program, 888-957-9570. You can text us on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, 95795, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Big Herb Sports. On the Giants side of things, they've got the best record in baseball. And that, to me, is a surprise. I thought the Giants were going to win the division this year. I did not think they would be able to survive as much injury-related adversity as they have. Joe Panik has been out for some time. Obviously, Angel Pagan was out for a considerable amount of time. Hunter Pence has been out for a good long time. Matt Duffy, last year's revelation, has been out for a good long time. I felt like if the Giants can stay healthy, this is coming out of spring training, if the Giants can stay healthy, and I really did believe that Samardzija would turn things around, and he has, although there's still some question marks. I think there's some anxiety related to Jeff Samardzija going into the second half. But I felt like he would have a turnaround. He'd be fine in the three spot. I do love me some Johnny Cueto. I knew he was going to be good. Didn't know he'd be this good. And you can count on Madison Bumgarner. I felt like if they stay healthy, they can win this division, because I just don't believe in the Dodgers. I very rarely do. It's not just being a Bay Area guy. It's looking at the makeup of that roster and the different personalities. They don't seem to pay a lot of attention to chemistry. They just don't. The Giants have suffered all these injuries, and they still have the best record in baseball. So when the trade deadline comes and they don't get that big splashy bat that everybody seems to want them to get, it's okay, because they're having acquisitions in the form of the return of Panik and Pence and Duffy at various times. So what do they need to focus on? Well, their bullpen has been an obvious problem. It hasn't been bad, but they've blown some saves. They've walked too many guys. I think it's going to be much like 2010 when they made moves that made their fan base kind of go, huh, who's Ramon Ramirez? Who's Javier Lopez? I forget who the third guy was. But, oh, those were guys that were key to you winning the first championship in San Francisco. And Javier Lopez obviously has been a key to this whole championship era of Giants baseball. I think that's what the Giants are going to do. They're going to go out and get some relievers, probably not named Andrew Miller or Aroldis Chapman, which is what that's the pitching version of the sexy bat, the Ryan Braun or the Jay Bruce that you're hearing connected with the Giants. I don't think the Giants are going to make that type of deal. I think they're going to make an under-the-radar deal. They're very good at doing that. Remember the Marco Scudero deal? Cody Ross was not a big name when they picked up Cody Ross. This is what they excel at, and I think they're going to do it again. I do not like to rush my call, so while normally I throw my callers right on, Tom and San Mateo, you're fortunate because we're just coming up to a break, which means, and you're fortunate because the second segment of the show is always wide open for the fans, which means you will have all the time in the world, Tom, when we come back. We're also going to get into the All-Star festivities or the All-Star fiasco. Depends on your perspective. I will give you mine when we come back. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
It's Inside the Bigs with Bay Area baseball insider Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. I am Michael Urban, and every Saturday morning, so pumped to be back on Saturdays. That means we've got a show every Saturday for the rest of the regular season. My good friend Zachariah tells me I explain the program too often. Trust that the listeners know, so I'm going to do that. But we're on 9 to noon every Saturday. Check us out. You got a new crew today. Got Javier producing. I've got Steven as my executive button pusher, also known as a board op. And I have Lucas. I don't know what Lucas does, but I like him. And we're excited to be working together. And I'm also excited to be talking to you. Wait a second. Did that person get that impatient? Didn't I just have Joe or somebody from Tom? Tom was holding throughout the commercial break, knowing that he was going to lead off this segment and then just dropped off. What happened, Tom? Give us a call back. Fortunately, we've got Matt from Fremont. And I want to talk ball with Matt because the callers always come first. Remember, if you impress Javier, you're going to get on the air sooner rather than later. By the way, Vince Catronio in our next segment, he is one of the voices of A's baseball here at 95.7 The Game. He will break down what I am viewing as the A's officially waving the white flag. They've told Danny Valencia he's not going to play much going down the rest of the way, nor is Coco Crisp. These are two guys who, when healthy, are two of their more productive players. They've decided we need to look at young guys. And when you hear front offices say, we need to look at what we have and see if they're going to be part of the future, that to me is waving the white flag. You might disagree. 888-957-9570. Those are the numbers that Matt in Fremont dialed. Matt, welcome to Inside the Bigs. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, I just had a question. You know, you mentioned the A's and Valencia and Coco kind of not playing that much because they want to go young. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, you know, some names that you've heard in the minor leagues that are going to come up, you know, the second half and maybe start next year that I can, you know, look up and get excited about.
Well, specifically the guys that have been mentioned in concert with the discussions they had with Danny Valencia and Coco Crisp, third baseman Ryan Healy was called up Friday to make his major league debut against the Jays. The A's actually opened the proverbial second half with an 8-7 victory over the Blue Jays. But yeah, it's going to be Ryan Healy, and I haven't heard a whole lot about him. I'll be honest with you. I haven't really followed the minor league A's because I feel like I'm doing that at the big league level. I know that's a cheap shot, but it's true. If you are a young player and you get traded to the A's, if you're a minor leaguer, you know that it's the land of opportunity. So Ryan Healy is going to be doing a lot of playing at third base. And Jake Smolinski, who we do know a little bit about because he's been at the big league level, those are the two guys that in relation to Coco Crisp and Danny Valencia that you need to start paying attention to. I'm not going to tell you to go out and buy a Jake Smolinski or a Ryan Healy jersey, but you are going to be seeing their names in the lineup more often than you see the names of Danny Valencia and Coco Crisp. All right, Matt is gone. I hope I provided. Did I bore him to sleep and he just nodded off and hung up? 888-957-9570. The fans do come first on this program. Again, Vince Catronio is going to join us in the next segment. If you want to hit us on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, 95795. And I do follow my Twitter feed throughout the program. Thank you for following. It is at Big Herb Sports. At some point in the first couple of segments, I always give a shout out to my two beautiful, hilarious daughters, Jackie and Natalie. Natalie has a swim meet in Concord, I believe. Natalie has a softball tournament. I'm sorry, Jackie. Oh my gosh, she's going to be so mad at me now. We're not the same person, Dad. Anyone else out there, parents, their kids get so bent out of shape when you accidentally call one by the name of the other? It happens all the time, all the time. And it's totally human, but the kids still get bent out of shape. My daughter, Jackie, the 13-year-old that I'm going to see 21 Pilots with on Thursday at the Greek Theater, very excited about that. Hi, Jackie. I love you. You're going to be great today. I will see you hopefully by the end of your first game, and I'll get to see all your second game. And then I see Natalie swim tomorrow in her swim meet. All right, family stuff over. Oh, by the way, hi, wife, Kelly. Love you, too. Okay. She's not listening. All-Star game. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Were you ambivalent? Were you apathetic? I know that the general sentiment from the public runs the gamut. Everybody is at a point along that spectrum. There are some people who absolutely dig it. I am one of those people. I love the All-Star game, first of all, because it's the only All-Star game in professional sports where they actually get after it. Look, baseball, when you boil it down at any level, any and every level, is about that one-on-one confrontation between the pitcher and the hitter. Sure, it's a team game, and it takes everybody. It takes a village. You need clubhouse chemistry, yada, 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 yada. It comes down to pitcher versus batter. And in the All-Star game, when it's the pitcher looking at the batter and vice versa, they are trying to tear each other's figurative heads off. They are competing just as hard, 99% of the time, just as hard as they would in a regular season or a postseason game. That's why I love Major League Baseball's All-Star game. Now, there are occasions when someone will groove a fastball to a buddy in an All-Star game, which the fact that it's happening now, or that at least people are talking about it, may be happening now. People are saying they might do it. People are actually admitting it. I forget the name of the person who said it. Maybe somebody here can help me out. Someone said they were going to groove a fastball to David Ortiz. It was his last All-Star game. Turns out the guy did not groove a fastball to David Ortiz. He ended up walking him, and I think he walked him on a breaking ball, and I think the first pitch he threw him was a changeup. Jose Fernandez, maybe it was him. I don't know. But somebody admitted to that publicly, which tells me that as much as Bud Selig wants us to believe that this time it counts and wants us to buy into the notion that because home field advantage is at stake in the All-Star game, that everybody is treating it as a balls-to-the-wall competition. No, not if somebody's grooving a fastball. But again, back to that pitcher versus batter confrontation. That is always, 99% of the time, going to be as heated as a regular season or postseason game, and that's why I like it. They're playing, basically, I boil it down, they're playing real baseball. They're not playing real basketball in the NBA All-Star game because they're not playing half the game, i.e. defense. Ditto the NHL All-Star Game. They don't play defense in the NHL, and they don't hit. And if you're just a casual hockey fan like I am, all I want to really see is goals and hits. So they're giving me the goals in the NHL All-Star Game, but they're not giving me the hits. And I get it. Who wants to get hurt in the exhibition game? But hitting's a big part of hockey. Defense is a big part of hockey. They don't do it in the All-Star Game. Ergo, it's meaningless to me. It is not a legitimate. It is purely an exhibition. It may as well be a skills contest. And don't even get me started on the Pro Bowl. In fact, the league itself doesn't want to get started on the Pro Bowl. They're actually knocking around the idea of getting rid of it entirely. It had become such a farce. Major League Baseball's All-Star Game is by far the best in pro sports. Is it perfect? No. There are a number of issues. One of the issues is that the fans vote in the starters. Now, I've said this a bunch of times, and I will always stick with this. I like that the fans have a say. It's the only time in the sports calendar when a professional sports league actually listens to the fans. The fans never get heard. Well, they get heard when it comes to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game starting lineups. And so I have to be okay with it because they never listen to them anyway. Which is why if Cal Ripken's having a terrible year and he gets voted in as a starter, fine. Ditto Derek Jeter or anybody that fans just want to see one last time. I'm cool with that. But something is wrong when Brandon Crawford, the best shortstop in the game for my money, can't get a sniff of the All-Star game. Look, every year there's somebody that gets snubbed. There's a bunch of people who get snubbed. And there's usually one high-profile guy that you're like, wow, that's ultra snub. By the way, it was Jose Fernandez who said he was going to groove to Big Poppy and did not. I don't know how to feel about that. Brandon Crawford not being in the All-Star game was a joke. Addison Russell, who's voted in as a starter by the Cubs, who voted in their entire lineup, and I think there were 17 Cubs made the All-Star game this year. Kind of ridiculous, but again, the fans, hey, they get heard one time on the calendar. I'm cool with that. Addison Russell, terrific young shortstop. It hurts A's fans to hear his name. But he said about Brandon Crawford, I learned from him by watching him. I look forward to playing the Giants because I check out his footwork. I'm impressed by his arm. He's become a better hitter every year. I value playing Brandon Crawford because I learn from him. If you're learning from someone, you're kind of admitting they're better than you, right? Every shortstop on the National League All-Star team talked about Brandon Crawford like they learned from him. Something, there needs to be a mechanism in place where that doesn't happen. The best player at his position in the league should be on the All-Star roster somewhere. Real quick, I'm going to go to Aris in Oakland. He hates baseball, but he wants to love it, and I'm going to help him love it. What's up, Aris?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Like Aristotle.
All right, nice.
So I'm from the Bay Area, born and raised. I'm 38, so I remember when the A's won the championship, and that was fun for me. I used to collect baseball cards. I was much more into the game when I was younger. But what I found is that I believe the game is the season is too long, and you just talked about competition, mano y mano.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basic physics on players that whatever the reason is, they can't keep it up all season. So what I'm asking baseball to do is trim down the season by like 60 games. Then let's have more teams in the playoff, like 16 per league, right? And let's play a tournament style, just like they do in the College World Series.
No,
go ahead.
Aris, I get you, and I know that a lot of fans feel that way, that the season's too long, but let's be real, okay? You strike me as somebody who lives on the real. You're asking them to cut out 62 games and make it a 100-game season. You know how much money the owners and players are going to lose as a result of that? It's just, there's no way. I like the idea.
Wait. Hold on really quick.
Okay.
Premier League Soccer makes a lot of money, and the bottom team gets relegated.
Uh-huh.
So they lose a lot of money when they lose. I'm talking about that same thing. If you win, you're going to keep playing in the playoffs, and you're going to make up those games. Okay, listen, my math might be off and everything like that, but what I'm saying is basically this. Let's reward the teams that win and put a winning team on the field. Let's let a team like Leicester City or whatever that team was from the Premier League.
It stunned everybody and won it.
Yeah. So then basically what you do is you make the owners put the money into the team so they can't sink it like the Pittsburgh Pirates did like 10 years ago. And then I'm not saying cut it all out. What I'm saying is this. Make the last, like, third of the season all playoffs. And so everyone's playing hard. And if you're injured, sorry, buddy, you got to sit the bench or you got to play, one or the other. And that the winning teams will make more money and the losing teams will make less money. So make it like soccer is. And soccer is way bigger than
okay,
baseball.
Okay, so let me see if I've got that right, this right, and I got to bounce. So you're saying ultimately it's about the same number of games. It's just the importance of the final third of the season maybe is jacked up by making them quote-unquote playoff games.
Yes, but then also the teams that suck will not get those final third, basically.
All right. It's certainly a unique perspective on it. Thank you for calling. That's Aris in Oakland. Again, 888-957-9570. It's not going to happen. It's too confusing, for one, for the small-minded people of baseball. And, look, just tiny, tiny incremental changes take forever in baseball. It ain't going to happen. It's just there's too much money involved. And, again, the little brains in baseball aren't going to understand it. My little brain will be back in just a couple of moments. A big brain will join me. Vince Catronio, part of the broadcast team here at 95.7 The Game on A's Baseball, comes back with me. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
It's Inside the Bigs with Bay Area baseball insider Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. A little bit of Nelly, a little bit of Diddy, a little bit of, what is that, Jermaine Dupri, I believe it is. Shake Your Tail Feather. You're welcome. You can car gig to that. You know what? I talked about this last week. I have so gotten past the point of worrying what other people in other cars think of me in my commute. So I'm a one-man concert. I'm belting songs out at the top of my lungs. I'm fired up. And then I look over at, you know, one side or the other, and they're laughing at me. And do I care about that? No. They're probably going to talk about me at their dinner table. So I basically provided them a little entertainment, and they have a story. Rather than being bored or angry in traffic, they got a story out of it. So you're welcome to you as well. We are going to be speaking with Vince Catronio in this segment, one of the voices of A's Baseball. But first, I'm a man of my word. I tell you, the callers, the fans, they always come first. Josh in Oakland would like to rebut our previous caller who said cut the season by, 62 games. Josh in Oakland, you now have the floor. Welcome to Inside the Bigs.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm sorry. That guy's an idiot. He obviously doesn't understand.
Hey, we don't need to name call. We don't need to name call.
I know. It's just a statement. It's true. I mean, what are you thinking? Bar owners are going to lose money. Businesses everywhere are losing money. The players are losing. Like you brought up, there's no chance that any of that's going to go down. And honestly, that's the stupidest argument that people keep making, like the games are too long. You know what? Appreciate the game. This is the only major sport without a clock.
Mm-hmm.
There's no clock. The whole point of this game is you go and enjoy yourself, spend time. America's favorite, pass time. You pass time.
Ooh.
It's not, I got to get to dinner by this point, so hurry up and put a clock in this game. Put the iPad down. Put the phone
Thank
down.
You. Thank
enjoy
you.
Enjoy yourself.
I think all Major League ballparks should be Wi-Fi free. I'm so tired of looking at people just digging into their phones and their iPads. Hey, great phone call, Josh. I appreciate it. The only thing I did not like was the name calling. We're better than that here on Inside the Bigs. We don't call each other names unless it's off the air and behind the scenes and my new good friend Lucas has screwed something up. Lucas is new to the program. I introduced him as having said, I don't really know what Lucas does. He came in during the break and he said, hey, I like the way you introduced me, but I am training to produce. Code, that means I didn't like the way you produced me. Show me some respect. I'm a budding producer and I might be producing your lazy ass sometime soon, sir. All right, Lucas, back off, Tiger. Let's go to my buddy. Vince Catronio is one of the voices of A's Baseball. More important, he's the best friend of the program. He joins me every single weekend without fail, whether it's Saturday, whether it's Sunday. I saw a picture. I actually got to see Vince in person not too long ago, but then I saw a picture of him a couple of days ago and was reminded by what a handsome man he has, especially with a hat on. What's up, Vince? How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Rob Manfred just announced that everybody is getting a trophy.
Everyone gets a trophy. It's a participatory thing. Yeah, it is. Now, are you referencing the All-Star game or just the general direction of baseball going towards ridiculousness and everybody has to be – I hate the rule that every team has to be represented in the All-Star game. First off, how do you feel about that one?
I disagree with you 100%.
Okay.
As a matter of fact.
Why?
I mean, I think because it's the national game. It's the focus of the middle of the season. It's the Midsummer Classic, and I think every team should be represented. The challenge you have is like the A's had with Stephen Vogt. You know, Sal Perez caught 5 innings. Matt Wieters caught 4, and he's waiting by the side of the road, maybe catching a knuckleballer if there's a 10th inning. So the challenge is you've got so many players that are on the team now, a lot that have faked out for various reasons, that it's difficult to get everybody in. And I think when you're a club like the Athletics, who have only one player there, you got to find a way to get the guy in. The flip side of that is the manager on the other side, who won the National League last year, Terry Collins, didn't play any of his Mets. So just go figure the way it was, and they certainly had more than one.
So let me just play devil's advocate. And you know that I love you, Vince, right? You know that. You're the best friend of the program, and it's okay for us to disagree. But you kind of took a shot at the whole notion of participatory trophies, and I don't know how mandating that every team is represented in the All-Star game is any different than that.
Well, what I was referencing that toward was your previous callers talking about shortening the season.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing. It's like there's a reason the Major League Baseball season is special. It's a battle of attrition. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way for a reason. And I think as you look at Major League Baseball, the way they've changed things, home field advantage does mean something. Winning your division does mean something. So you complain about, well, I can't believe we won 92 games and we're only getting a one-game playoff. Well, too bad. You didn't win the division.
Right.
Even though you're the Cubs and you won 97 last year, the Cardinals won 100, that's the way it goes. I mean, I can't talk about that any stronger than that from that standpoint. So that's my feeling about, you know, in the culture of everybody should get a chance to play in the playoffs. I disagree with that 100%. Play better, build your team better, find a way to win better.
Right. My problem with every team having to be represented is that if that rule wasn't in existence, I have to believe that Brandon Crawford is an All-Star this year. The fact that he wasn't, look, I know, and they can try to explain it as much as they want, but when I hear every other National League shortstop who's on the All-Star team talking about how they love watching him, how they learn from him, they're basically admitting he's better than them and he's not on it. I have to think that if there wasn't a requirement that a Padre had to be there, that you know, somebody from every single team had to be there, Brandon Crawford would have been. And I'd like to see that wrong righted.
Well, there's no question that he is, if not at the top of the list, very close to the top of the list of the snubs of 2016. The other side of that is, Michael, teams could vote. Players vote for the players that get the second wave of joining the All-Star game.
True.
So it's really on them. If mm-hmm. he's that good and that well thought of around the league, he would have gotten those votes to get him to the All-Star game.
Okay.
That's my point about Brandon taking nothing away from who I think is a very special talent on the other side of the bay. But including his own team could have voted for him to ensure an opportunity for him to get to the All-Star game if they felt that strongly about it.
All right. The voice you hear is that of best friend of the program, Vince Catronio. He's one of the voices of A's baseball here at 95.7 The Game. You can follow him on Twitter at Vince Baseball. Vince, coming out of the All-Star break, the A's get a victory over the Blue Jays 8-7, but that's kind of secondary to the announcements made yesterday that, in particular, Danny Valencia and Coco Crisp are not going to be playing as frequently. But the bigger message is that we are going to go young. They're already awfully young, but they're going to go younger, and they're going to bring up some guys, and they're going to take a look at what they have and see if they have, what it takes to be a part of their future going forward. To me, the headline should be A's wave white flag. It's official now. They have given up on the 2016 season. What say you?
Well, I think when you look at a club that's 38-51 going into the break and had a roller coaster ride in the first half, injuries or not, you've got to take a step back and figure out how do we get to where we have been in the very recent past. And that is, you know, into October, at least if not that, certainly meaningful games for your own club instead of spoiler in September. I think the A's have got to identify who their core is. And I think they want to take a chance at looking at a guy like Ryan Healy. They've got, you know, kids like Chapman on the way, Barreto on the way, others in the minor league system that they may want to take a look at before it's all said and done. I think if you're an A's fan, Michael, you want to know, okay, we keep on, you know, churning the roster. You've got, you know, a new guy at first base. You got Valencia last year, who was a waiver claim. You brought back Jed Lowry. Are these guys that are going to take you to where you want to be? And if the answer is no, or we don't think so, at least at this point, it offers an opportunity to look at somebody else. And I'm all for it. I mean, I want to find who's the hungry player, who's the core player that is a part of this club for enough years to where they make that kind of run. And when you're 38-51, I have no issue with that. And yes, I wouldn't say necessarily white flag, but that's the nature of the beast. And I think even outside of the A's having a winning record right now, Rich Hill, if he was going to have any kind of first half, and it was beyond any kind, it was very good, that clubs searching for pitching that are in a better position than the A's were going to try to hunt him down. And, I mean, there were maybe seven or eight scouts and seven or eight different teams at the game last night. That's going to jump up today with Sonny and even higher tomorrow with Rich Hill. That's the nature of the beast. It's the A's decision on how they want to move forward. What kind of deal can they make if they want to make the deal? Is it worth making the deal? What does it do for the club in the next, you know, second half of 2016 and the next 2 years? What kind of club do you have moving forward? I mean, the Red Sox are in the run, and they fought through struggles of Bogarts and Betts and Bradley, and now they're integral parts of their team. They lost, you know, they were in last place 2 years in a row in order to get that done. The Astros lost 100 games 3 years in a row. I'm not saying that's what you want to do, but at some point you've got to find who's the group, and let's get them up here and let them play and see what they can do. And the A's are doing that to a certain degree because of injuries to the pitching staff, giving Manaea a chance and giving Mingden a chance and things of that nature.
The brilliance you just heard provided courtesy of Vince Catronio, one of the voices of A's baseball here at 95.7 The Game. Vince, we're running out of time, but I have to just we got to do something that's a little bit lighter than the heaviness we've been discussing. Josh Reddick has brought back George Michael, Wham, Careless Whisper. I love it. It cracks me up every time I hear it. It's just, you know, that's the side of baseball that I really enjoy. How much longer are we going to get to hear that song from Josh Reddick? Do you believe that he will be gone within a matter of weeks?
That's a good question. I mean, that happening last night, that kind of moment, and those kind of memories evoke the reasons of why you want to keep this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it was almost sad at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he gets it. He's a fun-loving player. He's a hard-nosed player. He runs out every ball, helped the A's get a win in Houston just based on his hustle alone when he made Carlos Correa embarrassed with a play at shortstop. He's a top-notch two-way player, which aren't many of those around. And the A's have been negotiating with him. So, you know, for me, working for the club, but more importantly as a fan, why can't they get this job done? Why can't they close the deal here? And I don't have that answer. I'm not in the room, but it seems like that the numbers in comparison to the dollars that are out there seem like it's a reasonable deal to keep a guy that wants to be here, that's an integral part of this club, is a connection to the good times. They got to find a way to keep them. I think it's probably 60-40 that he's with another club by August 1st.
Okay. I just hope that if he does go, I hope it's not to the Giants. That's just too much for A's fans to bear, especially if the Giants go deep in the playoffs, watching Josh Reddick be a part of it. Watching 1,500 former A's in the All-Star game had to be painful enough. Hey, Vince, thank you again for your time. As usual, I'm excited that we're back on Saturdays, which means I can get you back at a regular time every week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'll be listening to you. You're always entertaining and informative. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you next week.
All right, that's Vince Catronio. You can follow him on Twitter at Vince Baseball. A lot of stuff going on at the All-Star Game in San Diego. John Dickinson, by the way, boots on the ground. He's going to join us later in the program. Everything in life can be labeled one of two ways, good for ball or bad for ball. Have you ever needed to put air in your tires and you pull into a gas station? Are you giving them a quarter? Are you giving them a dollar? Are you giving them nothing? What did you think of the Home Run Derby jerseys and hats? I love that ugly Padre look. I don't like it on other teams. All these things can be labeled good for ball or bad for ball. We will do just that when we come back. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
It's Inside the Bigs with Bay Area baseball insider Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. We're back on Saturdays, every Saturday morning from 9 to noon, 3 hours of talking ball, A's, Giants, the league at large. We're going to do a lot of the league at large today and in this segment in particular because it was the All-Star break. It was the proverbial midpoint of the season. We know that it's not exactly numerically the midpoint, but it is kind of fun. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't really know that it wasn't the numerical midpoint. I just assumed. So if I saw, like, if my favorite player had 22 home runs at the break, of course he was going to hit 44 home runs this year. That's just how it worked, right? That was the joy of being a kid. You felt like you could count on certain things. And by the time he ended up being a huge disappointment with only 31 home runs and finished the season at AAA Richmond or wherever it might have been, I'd forgotten all about it. I had moved on to a new favorite player who was actually playing well. Isn't that how it works when you're a kid? Notice your favorite player is always doing really well. Every kid is a front runner. That's how I ended up being, serious digression here, That's how I ended up being a fan of the New York Jets, is I see Joe Namath on the television in the studio here. Of course, he made his bones with the New York Jets with a guarantee of victory at the Super Bowl. But the reason I'm a New York Jets fan to this day is because I was a front runner as a football fan when I was a kid. So I had the Drew Pearson jersey, the Tony Dorsett jersey. I liked the Steelers, even though they were rivals. I liked Lynn Swan and John Stallworth, and because they were always in the Super Bowl, kids like winners. So I was a total front runner, and I'm the youngest of three brothers. My brothers, Mark and Dan, would just pound me relentlessly for being a front runner. And so finally, as I became, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, I got sick of being called a front runner. So I looked in my Sporting Green. I've been a Chronicle Sporting Green reader my whole life. It's probably why I ended up being a writer. Bruce Jenkins, following him, Tim Keown, guys like that. I looked in the Sporting Green. I went to the NFL standings. I looked for the worst team in football. It was the New York Jets. I immediately asked for a Richard Todd jersey. I adopted the New York Jets because they were bad, and I didn't want to be called a front runner anymore. Guess what happened the very next season? They made the playoffs, and my brothers went back to calling me a front runner. But I stuck with them ever since. That's my long story. Not so short. Everything in life, my friends, can be labeled one of two ways. Let's go ahead and play good for ball, bad for ball.
Everything in life can be labeled one of two ways. Good for ball.
All right.
Or bad for ball.
This is bad for baseball.
On Inside the Bigs.
And I do mean everything. That's the second time today. Something about moving to Saturdays has kind of got me discombobulated. That's the second time I've started talking without turning my mic back on. And because we've got a new crew here, and Steven sees what I'm about to do, but he's like, well, he's the host, and I'm new. I can't correct him. Yes, you can, Steven. Feel free. I'm often a jackass. Save me from myself. Totally forgot what I was about to say. Very nice, Michael. See, Saturdays have me discombobulated, but it is a very good thing. Anyway, I do mean everything. Everything in life can be labeled one of two ways, good for ball or bad for ball. For instance, I pulled into a gas station. My car, by the way, FH Daily Chevrolet in San Leandro, I voiced their ads. And you know how you hear about this rule that somebody told me there was a law. You can't advertise for a product if you don't use it and actually like it. I would think that'd be really difficult to enforce. FH Daily in San Leandro, Chevrolet, very, very good customer service. I do drive a Chevy from FH Daily, and it's got computerized everything. When the slightest little thing goes wrong, it tells me. It told me this week that the PSI, which I only know that it's even remotely related to air pressure because of Tom Brady and Deflategate, the story that just will not die. See how I tied it into sports there? I had 13 PSI on my left rear wheel. So I pulled into a gas station, fully assuming I was going to have to spend a dollar for air, which aggravates me to no end. Nope, not at this place. It was free. Air and water is free. I was so pumped about it, I tweeted it at Big Herb Sports and said, free air and water at a gas station, hashtag good for ball. And a slew of my followers shot back at me, dude, it should be free everywhere. It's the law. I did not know that. Also, good for ball. But we do stick to sports-related things, baseball-related things. So I'm going to give you a few takes from this week's Midsummer Classic in San Diego. Again, I do love the baseball All-Star Game more than any other sport, not just because, well, baseball is my favorite sport. I'll give you a little secret there. Basketball is my favorite sport. More fun to play. I just wasn't as good at it, which is why I ended up playing at a higher level in baseball. But I love the All-Star Game because it's pitcher versus batter. That's what baseball boils down to. It is an authentic competition in the All-Star Game. But there's some things that could probably be tweaked. The voting, nothing is ever perfect. What definitely needs to be tweaked, or I wish had been tweaked before that abomination was forced on us, was the old school McDonald's brown and yellow Padres jerseys. Their whole getup, not just the jerseys, the hats. I actually kind of like that look. It was so one of those things that was so bad, it was good. It was so bad for ball, it was good for ball. It was so ugly, there was a certain beauty to it, and I liked it. And that they brought it back for the All-Star Game, I thought was pretty cool. Because when I think of Tony Gwynn, who was honored at the game, and that was an awesome ceremony, by the way. I remember when they did it for Ted Williams. Ted Williams was still with us when they did it for him in Boston. But anytime you do something like that and kind of connect the past to the present, really, really cool. When I think of Tony Gwynn, I see him in those ugly Padres uniforms that baseball forced upon us. And that would have been fine if it was just the Padres rocking those unis. But they had everybody on All-Star Monday in the Home Run Derby. Look, I do not need to see Giancarlo Stanton in those ugly Padre jerseys. I don't care if you try to deke me by putting Marlins on his hat and his jersey. It's still the ugly Padre jerseys. When it's a Padre wearing it, it's so ugly, it's pretty, and it's good for ball. When it's anybody else wearing it, it is bad for ball. Also bad for ball, and this is just from an A's fan's perspective, is having to see... Look, good for ball that you get to see Steven Vogt, right? If you're going to send somebody all-star to the All-Star game, if you have to send somebody, send a guy like Steven Vogt, who's just very essence is good for ball. I just love me some Steven Vogt. So I'm happy he got to go experience that for the second time. Not so good for ball is A's fans having to see Addison Russell, Yoenis Cespedes, Bartolo Colon, John Lester, Ben Zobrist, Josh Donaldson, Drew Pomeranz. Stop me if you're vomiting. You probably already have vomited. And, oh, by the way, Carlos Gonzalez. Look at all those former A's in the All-Star game. And with player movement being what it is these days, we see it. It's far more frequent than it was in, you know, generations gone past. You're going to see a lot of guys with ties to multiple teams in the All-Star game. But it really did jump out at you how many former recent A's were in the All-Star game. And then you look just across the bay and you see that Jeff Samardzija is a big part of what the Giants did in compiling the best record in baseball in the proverbial first half. It's just, it's painful to watch. And so that is bad for ball from that perspective. Giancarlo Stanton's performance in the Home Run Derby. Oh, man. I'm not a huge fan of the Derby. I like watching batting practice, not because of the home runs. I like to watch the best hitters in the league work on their stroke. I loved watching Ichiro Suzuki kind of become a sprinkler, go back and forth, spraying the ball all over. But there is something to be said for watching the strongest baseball swing on the planet producing 61 home runs. And there's a beauty to the number 61 for obvious reasons. Bad for ball that 61 isn't still that beautiful number in that benchmark. It's just not. But good for ball that Giancarlo Stanton got to do what he did. If you've got good for balls, bad for balls, 888-957-9570. When we come back, we're going to be bringing back a voice that you have not heard much recently. He's part of CSN. He does hockey. He does A's. He's Brody Brazil. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.